How many times had Whitney drilled it into her that she was worthless? The other girls had something to contribute to their country, but she was a waste of his time. All the effort he'd put into her, and she was always a disappointment. "Princess, take a breath." Gino was there, crouching in front of her, eye to eye. She couldn't look at him, but that terrible burning in her chest, the raw soreness in her lungs eased enough to allow air to slip inside her. He moved right past Nonnie's protest and lifted her, settled into the wide, comfortable chair she'd been in, and put her on his lap. His arms were familiar to her now, safe, comforting. She snuggled into his heat, those firm muscles that went on forever. Instead of forcing her to talk to him, Gino rocked her gently and addressed Nonnie. "What do you think about her feet?"
"It's going to take some time to heal," Nonnie answered. "I've got some poultices for her face. I can bring down the swelling fast, but her feet are a problem. I'm thinking on the best herbs to help them. Has Wyatt looked at them yet?"
Zara didn't want everyone looking at her mangled feet. They were long and flat like two skis. Everyone really had to stop looking at them, especially Gino. There was a small silence, and she realized she'd said it out loud. Belicia broke the spell by laughing.
"You always say that about your feet, Zara, and it isn't true. They are twice the size of your feet."
The other women laughed along with Belicia.
"My feet are twice the size of her feet,"
Cayenne shocked her by saying.
"She's teeny."
Zara knew Cayenne was a couple of inches taller than Belicia, but not much more, not 6 or 7 inches taller.
"But lethal,"
Belicia pointed out.
"Zara, your feet are just fine. Whitney is an ass. He likes to be the smartest man in the room, and a woman having your kind of brains didn't fit with his concept of women being disposable. He had to make you feel inferior to him, probably to convince himself as well. He did it from the time we were toddlers. I remember him talking about your feet and your hair and what a mess you were even then."
That didn't make her feel any better, now that everyone in the room knew Whitney despised her from the time she was a baby. She couldn't remember a single word of praise from him. Also, Belicia was teeny, even smaller than the other two women. If Zara was standing, she would have appeared a giant next to the others. The Amazon woman. The giant woman in the movies that stepped on cities. Nonnie applied a soothing cloth to Zara's feet and then straightened. She was taller than Zara realized because she was so thin and fragile. She held herself straight, unbending, and she clearly didn't care that she was taller than Pepper, Cayenne, and Belicia. She exuded a quiet confidence that Zara wished she could have.
"I was just asking Zara how long Whitney gave her before the virus is activated,"
Belicia said to Gino.
"I imagine you or Zeke are going to go in after the capsule."
"He's hiding them now," Gino said. His arms tightened fractionally around Zara, as if he didn't like the idea that she could be in any kind of danger. "He put 2 capsules in Zara, not just one. I'm going to look again, now that I know what I'm looking for. She told me she had about another 1.5 weeks. The room went silent. She tried hard not to tense up when Gino talked about looking again. She had to confess, tell him everything, before he found the SSD in her brain, but not in front of everyone. She desperately needed to talk to Belicia alone.
"Whitney always gave me extra time to get back just in case something went wrong. If it did, Damon came to me to give me the antidote, and he'd inject another capsule to give me the time needed."
"Your time was pretty exact, wasn't it, Belicia?" Gino asked. Zara did stiffen. There was no way to help it. He knew she was holding something important back, and he wasn't going to let up until he knew what it was. She had to have a little time to think things through. People killed over the kind of information she carried in her head. Certainly, covert agencies would do anything to get their hands on it. She needed alone time with Belicia to ask her advice. She knew these people and whether or not they could be trusted. Belicia nodded.
"Whitney liked us to keep to a timetable, but Zara was different in that she was very exposed publicly. He sent her all over the world, not to spy on governments, but mostly research centers and businesses. He likes to know what others are doing and project further out. He is brilliant. I have to give him that. Belicia had inadvertently given Zara some breathing room. She still held herself away from Gino. She didn't know if he could be counted on her side now that he knew she was hiding something from him. He didn't like it. That was for certain. She really wished she was a badass agent like Belicia. The woman could hold her own with anyone. She wouldn't be trembling and sick because Zhu beat the holy hell out of her. She wouldn't be so frightened that she could barely breathe unless a man held her. She wouldn't be upset that she had disappointed the man she had come to care about. More than any other thing, that was what she hated the most, that she knew she'd disappointed him. "Lean back," Gino instructed. She sent him one look over her shoulder, intending to tell him silently to back off. Gino's dark eyes glinted with warning. She refused to be intimidated. What could he do to her when they were surrounded by women, including Nani, Wyatt's grandmother? A wicked gleam shone in the depths of all that obsidian, and he brushed her hair from the nape of her neck with gentle fingers. He leaned into her, his face disappearing. Zara held her breath. His teeth bit into the nape of her neck. She yelped and muffled the sound by putting her hand over her mouth. "Something wrong?" Belicia asked. Zara glared at her. "You snicker, and I'm going to build a robot that gobbles water faster than you can run a bath." It was a long-standing joke between them. Zara had actually done it and placed the robot in their shared bathroom. It hadn't been easy, either. She had to figure out how to dispose of the water and yet not give the robotic secrets away. She also had to steal the tools to make the robot, one at a time over a period of weeks and months. That was the most difficult part, since Whitney was very precise in his accounting. Fortunately, Zara had learned how to doctor the inventory books without his knowledge. She'd been doing it from the time she was a teenager. "Not that." Belicia gave a pretend shudder, her smile wide. It faded fast. "Nani, can't you make the swelling go down on her face faster? That looks like it hurts." Weirdly, her face hurt the least of any place on her body. Still, she didn't want Belicia to call attention to the swelling in front of Gino. Not that he couldn't see it. He'd seen her so much worse. But it felt worse in front of the other women. Gino tugged until she found herself relaxing back into his hold. Now that he was there, she was determined to enjoy herself a little with the other women. "Seriously, Belicia," she assured, "Gino got rid of most of the swelling in my eyes. I know they're both black and blue, but my face doesn't hurt nearly as much as the rest of me." She wanted them to give him more credit than they were. It almost sounded as if Belicia had been complaining that he hadn't taken proper care of her. "Cheng did this to you?" Belicia asked, her small hands closing into tight fists. "It was his partner, Bolanju," Zara corrected. "He's a very scary man." "Cheng doesn't have a partner," Belicia said. "I read all the data on him. Zhu works for him as a kind of enforcer." Zara shook her head. "Zhu is definitely more than an employee. If anything, he's the senior partner. Not in terms of age, but certainly in every other way. Cheng pays him deference." She frowned, unsure whether she should share the speculations she had been turning over and over in her mind with them. On the surface, they seemed far-fetched, given the amount of information on Cheng and the little they had on Zhu. In the end, she decided it would be good to at least give that much to Gino. "I think there's a possibility that they're related." Gino and Belicia shared a look, but Zara told herself she didn't care whether or not they believed her, but she really did. Belicia knew her. She would know she picked up details no one else did. She noticed things. More, she had a feeling about the two men. Her feelings were almost always right. A small tremor ran through her body at the thought of Zhu. She wished she could forget the look on his face when he promised her that if she didn't do exactly what he said when he returned, her punishment would be so much worse and she'd suffer for a long time. She was certain running away with the Ghostwalker team qualified as not obeying him. He was so handsome and so deadly. For some reason, his good looks made it so much worse that his actions were so horrifying. He terrified her, and she knew it would be years before she dared fall asleep without taking safety precautions.
"Related how?" Pepper asked. "I read the file on Cheng. He seems very alpha, and he definitely is older than Zhu by several years."
"I think they're brothers. Maybe half-brothers," Zara qualified. She might as well say what she thought. What did it matter if they all thought she was crazy? Maybe she was. "I know they don't look that much alike. At first, I thought cousins, but they share some of the same movements, but more specifically, identical markers. Their hands, for instance. Their fingers on their hands are too exact. The way they're formed, the length and even width. Both have a flattening on the upper joint of the thumb that's very distinctive and unusual. Cheng isn't particularly beautiful, but he is attractive, and the things that make him attractive, his bone structure, he obviously inherited from his mother. Zhu has that same bone structure. He's quite beautiful in a deadly sort of way. The only reason I'm not taking offense is you tacked on the deadly sort of way," Gino said, a trace of amusement in his voice. "You've never described me as beautiful." Pepper and Cayenne laughed softly. Nani's lips twitched. Zara pulled forward so she could look at Gino over her shoulder. "I think you're beautiful, even if I don't say it out loud." She didn't care if everyone heard. She didn't want his feelings hurt. Her gaze moved over him. He didn't have an ounce of fat on his body, and he had more muscles than anyone she'd ever met, although they were subtler than some of the other ghostwalkers. His shoulders were wide, his hair shaggy, and his black eyes were cool and calm. He had scars and a permanent 5 o'clock shadow. He might not be traditionally handsome, but she thought he was far more beautiful than Zhu, or any other man she'd ever laid eyes on. "Princess." He didn't believe her.
"No, I do. I think I did tell you in the car earlier when the drugs were kicking in."
"I think they've really kicked in now, but thank you. I appreciate your assessment, skewed though it might be. And if any of you gossipy women tell your man what my woman just said, I'm going to have to plan revenge." Gino pulled Zara closer to him, wrapping her up tightly in his arms. His chin nuzzled the top of her head.
"This is too good to worry about your revenge," Cayenne said. "Trap is so going to love me when I tell him this."
"What's wrong with saying you're beautiful, Gino?" Zara asked. The drugs really were slowing things a little bit for her. She felt dreamy.
"Is there something wrong with it, Cayenne?"
"Not at all, Zara," Belicia assured.
"Then why are they laughing?"
Zara demanded. She noticed Belicia wasn't laughing. She had gone silent and looked at her strangely, as if she was suddenly worried. Her gaze moved speculatively between Zara and Gino, and clearly she didn't like what she was thinking.
"Tea's ready,"
Pepper announced, trying to change the subject.
"Is it for a poultice or for drinking, Nani?"
"Both. She should drink a cup, and we'll cool the rest. Once it's cold enough, we'll soak her feet and put some rags on her face."
"What's in it?"
Zara asked, suspicion in her voice. She couldn't help it. The tea didn't look like any tea she'd ever had before. More, there were flowers at the bottom of the cup.
"Good things. Pharmaceuticals that will help you heal faster," Nani assured. "It's sweet, and actually tastes good. One of the few I've found that is drinkable without doctoring it too much."
Gino took the cup of tea and sipped at it. "Doesn't taste bad at all, Princess. Go ahead and try it." He gave her the cup, but kept his hand around hers for support. "Perhaps we might try a little food. She's been on non-stop painkillers for obvious reasons. I think a little food might help." Zara took a cautious sip. The liquid tasted strange to her, but not bad. She could drink it. She waved her free hand in the air.
"I like feeling this way. I don't need help, Gino. In fact, I might be able to walk if I just get the courage to try."
She wrinkled her nose. "I'm not very courageous. I could never be a spy, or do the kinds of things Belicia does. I'm learning to cook, Belicia said. That takes serious courage, and you're already good at it.
I am.
Zara was proud of her cooking abilities. And don't listen to Belicia. She's very brave all the time.
That's it, Gino said decisively. I'm taking you to the bedroom before you start telling people about how you attacked me.
She attacked you?
Belicia echoed.
She did, Gino asserted, pushing the teacup closer to Zara's mouth. First she took a swipe at me with the cane, nearly took my head off. Zara started laughing.
Not his head. A different kind of head.
Gino rolled his eyes and took the cup out of her hand and put it on the table.
You're done. Let's go.
He stood up easily, cradling her close to his chest. Nani, when it's ready, will you bring the tea to put on her feet and face? I'd greatly appreciate it.
I have smothered chicken and sausage hot on the stove right now,
Nani offered.
Give me time to make the rice and I'll bring both of you a meal.
I would appreciate it.
Zara stroked Gino's bristles.
I love the way your face always has this perfect shadow,
she whispered conspiratorially.
Baby, did Zeke give you more meds after I brought you out here?
She tried to remember. She petted his face again.
He might have.
He gave me a glass of water. I really have to go to the bathroom.
Gino laughed softly. Yeah, baby, he gave you more. I'm going to have to talk to him about this.
She clutched his shoulders.
You said you wouldn't leave, and you did.
The hallway was really spinning, making her feel a little sick. If he left her, she wouldn't be able to crawl her way out of there. Her feet were beginning to throb again, pain pounding through her toes and the heel of her foot. It was a terrible sensation because, as if in counterpoint, the ball of her foot felt as if 1,000 bees were stinging it. The floating feeling only served to make her dizzy.
I might need to get sick.
The amusement was gone in an instant, and he took a detour, turning away from the direction they'd been going to open a door. She could have cried with relief when she realized they were in the bathroom. He carried her straight to the toilet, but shockingly, didn't put her head down.
Gino, put me on the floor and go.
She wasn't in the habit of sitting on a bathroom floor, but her lurching stomach told her that her body was done with painkillers. He'd spent enough time with her at the embassy and on the plane in the bathroom. Now that she was a little better, he didn't need to be with her. It was too embarrassing.
That's not happening.
She pressed a hand to her stomach, desperate not to vomit in front of him.
Really, my body isn't used to so many painkillers. I've had more over the last 6 days than my entire life. Whitney didn't believe we should ever have to use them, me especially. He wanted me to build up my pain tolerance.
Her stomach lurched again, and she leaned over and threw up what little contents were in her stomach. It could have been the most humiliating moment she'd had with Gino so far, and she'd had one terrible incident after another. Her hair hung in tangles around her face and fell like a rat's nest down her back. Her face was still swollen, which was bad enough, but when he'd first seen her eyes had been nearly closed. Her skin was still green and purple and black. Her feet were mangled and her body a mess. Of course she had to look and act her absolute worst in front of the hottest man she'd ever met, especially when three of the most beautiful women she'd ever seen were just in the next room. Her eyes burned, and she squeezed her lids closed, terrified she'd cry again. All he'd seen her do from the first moment they'd met was cry.
I hate this so much, she whispered.
She knew part of her emotions could really be the drugs, but it didn't matter what it was. She didn't want him seeing her like this.
Are you finished? Gino asked.
His voice was so gentle that she couldn't prevent a couple of tears from escaping, so she kept her head down and nodded. He carried her to the sink to allow her to rinse out her mouth. She did several times. The moment she was alone, she was going to try to put her weight on her feet. She had to find a way to be more independent.
While we're in here, you may as well use the toilet.
Her heart nearly stopped in her chest and then thudded like a drum. That was the last straw.
Not with you in here.
She was firm about it. He'd already been with her in the morning, but
That was before she had met the women of the house. Now, she couldn't bear it if he had to help her. I'm not certain how you're going to cope without me. You can't stand on your feet yet.
It isn't a big deal. Everyone uses a toilet. Not with you in the room.
It isn't the first time, he reminded.
It was so humiliating. Before, she'd been out of it, terrified beyond belief, unable to do anything but writhe in pain.
Now there were three women right in the next room that he saw every day and could compare her to.
She shook her head. Absolutely not. I'll walk back into the bathroom if I have to. But you're not staying here with me.
Crawl would be more like it. He was silent for so long she had to work to keep from squirming. She really had to go now that they talked about it. With a small sigh, Gino set her on the sink. I'm stepping outside, Zara, but I swear, you've got 3 minutes and then I'm back. Get it done. He was clipped, abrupt. She realized he was upset. She didn't care. She'd just seen three petite women, all gorgeous and sexy, and realized just how bad she really looked, and probably smelled. She'd thrown up in front of him. She was not going to add taking care of her business in the bathroom in front of him to her list of indignities any longer. If a man wanted a mystery, Gino clearly wasn't going to get it with her. She had to crawl to the toilet, because she couldn't take the excruciating pain when she experimentally put her foot on the tile. She managed to get everything done, flush and crawl her way back to the sink. She hadn't considered the problem of pulling herself back up, so she was sitting on the floor, suffering one more indignity when Gino returned. His face was a mask, all hard lines and planes, as he bent and took her off the floor.
Gino!
She knew she shouldn't comment. She should keep her mouth shut. She detested his silence, the look that said he was upset with her. She didn't want him ever angry with her. He'd done so much for her, and she seemed to be repaying him with vomit and whatever else she did to make him look like this. He kicked open the door so hard it swung viciously, hit a doorstop, and came back at them. He kicked it again and strode into the bedroom. Let it go.
Did I do something to upset you?
He stopped right in the middle of the room. She could feel anger pouring off him in waves. His eyes were so black they were scary. I'm pissed, Zara, not upset. I'm fucking done with you sacrificing your comfort because you think you need to preserve your dignity. She swallowed back a protest, put her arms around his neck, and buried her face against his shoulder. Hiding. She'd wanted to hide nearly all her life, but she'd been thrust into the spotlight. Whitney's retaliation for her disappointing him. All the girls were so envious. She could leave the compound and see the world. She could go to various cities, go to landmarks, see sights they would never witness in their lifetimes. They told her how lucky she was over and over. Belicia and Shyla beamed when she came back, so proud of her. All the girls sat in a circle at night, and she told them stories of the outside. The universities had been particular favorites to talk about. She hadn't attended parties, obviously, and Whitney had his men watching her every move. But she'd had the freedom to attend classes, do her projects, and mix with like-minded men and women. The other girls had all lived vicariously through her. Sometimes they would tuck a request in her pocket, and she'd try to fulfill it. A lipstick from the outside, girly contraband none of them were supposed to have. She had been caught more than once and punished by Whitney. His punishments had been harsh, but they hadn't been anything like Jew's. Nani thinks your body would benefit from a soak in a tub, Gino said, putting his knee in the middle of the bed and gently depositing her on the sheet-covered mattress. The anger had receded from his voice, and she dared to look at him again. His face was close, his eyes dark, his jaw was tight, a muscle ticked there. Telling her his voice might not give away what he was feeling, but the tension was there. She says the special herbs would help heal you faster. I know it sounds a little wacky, but I've seen amazing things from her. The old ways worked for centuries before modern medicine, and just like Eastern medicine, Nani's pharmacy out here in the swamp serves a purpose.
She studied his face, tried to read his mind. What did he want her to do?
I'm really worried about my feet. I need them.
They'll heal. While you eat, I'm going to ask the women to fill up the bathtub with Nani's concoction. She swears you won't need pain pills.
I'm not going to take them anymore. I made a total fool of myself. I can't believe I was blurting out all those crazy things.
And vomiting in front of him. Do you really believe Boulanger and Bernard Cheng are related?
She nodded. Brothers, I don't miss the kinds of things that would genetically link them. They both have the same unusual eyes. Bone structure from their mother and those fingers are distinct. I think Bolan is the younger brother, and he's very dangerous.
Cheng knows it, too. She took a deep breath.
I can't stay here long, Gino. You know that. Belicia isn't going to understand. But there's Nani and Pepper, and Pepper and Wyatt's three children. Pepper's pregnant. Zhu's going to come after me, and so will Whitney.
Why? Why won't Whitney let up? Every woman here is a ghost walker, and he let them go. Why won't he let you go?
She shook her head. I'll tell you, Gino, but later, after my bath.
After her talk with Belicia. She trusted Belicia implicitly. She had to know if there was corruption here. What she carried in her head was extremely valuable and couldn't be put in the hands of just anyone. Governments could be toppled with the kinds of information Cheng bought and sold. She was certain he had intelligence on terrorist cells, on traitors and agents for various countries. He knew about weapons they had and those countries developing chemicals in spite of the bans.
We're alone right now, Zara, and I'm giving you this opportunity.
She sighed and looked away from those dark, compelling eyes. He could mesmerize her with them.
I can't write yet. I have to think about this. I can't just...
What? He snapped. Trust me? I parachuted onto the roof of a building for you, carried your ass out of there and risked my life for you. We all did. What more do you need to trust me?
She blinked her lashes and breathed deeply, turning her face away from him. She was not going to cry.
Belicia wouldn't cry. Neither would Shyla. They were stoic when they had to be.
Not her. Not Zara.
Whitney could get to her every time. Apparently, so could Gino. He swore softly and went to the window to stare out into the night. There was only a shadowed light from a lamp in the far corner illuminating the room, but it would be enough for a sniper to take him out. She wanted him to move. She waited, her heart beating overtime, but he just stood there, his back to her, his anger and disappointment in her coming off him in waves.
"Gino, could you just please not stand there?"
She finally burst out, unable to keep quiet, even though she knew it was the absolute worst thing to say. He half turned, his face in the shadows, so she couldn't read his expression.
"Why?"
"It's dark out there, and light in here. A sniper might be able to shoot you." She really did sound like an idiot, but she was too afraid for him. Gino stepped forward, and she caught his gaze dropping to her hands. She hadn't realized she was twisting her fingers together, a habit Whitney detested. Spies didn't do things like that. He came to the edge of the bed and reached down to push the tangled strands of hair from her face. "The windows are shaded on the outside and fitted with bulletproof glass. It obviously isn't 100% safe, so you're right. It isn't smart to stand in front of them with a light to my back. Thanks for the worry." Relief almost made her giddy, but luckily, Nani and Belicia came in with dinner.
Chapter 10 The bath water was soothingly hot on Zara's tortured skin, and she just let Gino immerse her body in the heat with only a towel wrapped around her. Belicia and Nani washed her hair and rinsed it. When the water turned red from the dried blood, they pulled out the stopper, rinsed the tub, and refilled it.
"I know why you're so obsessed with water, Belicia." Zara offered her friend a tentative smile. She still wore the soaking wet towel, but it didn't matter. It was coming off the moment Gino left the room.
He wanted to make certain her bruised and aching buttocks could take sitting on the hard surface.
"Gino," Nani said, pouring authority into her voice, "give us some privacy so we can get to work on this girl."
Zara wanted to throw her arms around Nani and hug her. For once, she didn't want Gino close. She was desperate to talk to Belicia. She would have to let Nani do her swamp healing, and then she could talk freely.
"You okay with me leaving, Princess?"
Gino crouched down beside the tub. "Because if you're not, I'll risk the wrath of the women to stay with you."
"It's indecent," Nani said.
Something in her voice made Zara look up at her. Wyatt's grandmother didn't look shocked or at all uncomfortable with Gino in the bathroom while Zara was taking a bath. Her statement wasn't her opinion, merely a ploy to allow her to get Gino out of the room. She seemed to know Belicia wanted some time alone with Zara.
"Sorry, ma'am. You know I have the highest respect for you, but if Zara needs me, I'm not leaving."
That made her feel good. Zara couldn't help it. Something about Gino had her heart stuttering and butterflies winging their way through her stomach. There might have been more of a reaction other places, but she was ignoring that. She was naked in a bathtub, a towel wrapped around her for modesty, but it didn't matter because he made her feel as if his entire focus was on her. He would stay, risking everyone's wrath if she wanted him.
"I'll have Belicia or Nani call you when I need to get out," she assured.
"Thank you, Gino. I appreciate everything you've done for me. And just so you know, I do trust you. 100%. That wasn't about her heart, but her safety. She did trust him. How could she not? But Belicia was her sister. It had always been Belicia, Shyla, and Zara. She had to talk her dilemma out with her first. Gino leaned down and brushed a kiss across the top of her head.
"Thank you, Zara. That means a lot to me."
He nodded toward Belicia and Nani.
"Ladies?"
He sauntered out. Zara watched him go, appreciating the way his muscles rippled beneath the tight tee. When she turned her head, Belicia was frowning at her. Nani was all business, not giving her time to figure out why Belicia had that particular look on her face. The older woman pinned Zara's clean, wet hair up on top of her head, and then poured a dark-colored liquid into the bathwater.
"You'll need to soak in that for half an hour. Then you can rinse off and get out. I'll make a paste for your feet, and we'll wrap them before you go to bed."
Zara tried to wiggle her toes, but stopped when pain shot through her. She was uncertain she wanted paste and wraps on her feet while she slept, but she was willing to try anything in order to heal them. She wanted desperately to walk on her own so Gino wouldn't think he had to carry her everywhere. She'd never thought much about trying to attract a man. Whitney had made it clear before he sent her off to school that if she wasted her time looking at men, he'd pull her back to the compound fast. Leaving the compound made Belicia and Shyla so proud of her, and she could contribute to the other women's comfort with contraband and stories. It made her feel like a giving member of their group. Nani left the room after lighting an odd-smelling candle, leaving her with Belicia. The two stared at each other, and then both burst into tears, then laughter.
"Did you see Shyla before you left?"
Belicia asked. Zara shook her head. "Whitney was very closed-mouthed about Shyla and what he had her doing, but I had a terrible feeling it had something to do with Cheng. He's obsessed with the idea that Cheng was going to sell the Ghostwalker program to other governments." Belicia studied her face.
"But you don't think that?"
Zara drew her knees up and rested her chin on top of them.
"No. I think Cheng wants his own army. We read about him in the files they compiled for us, but he's far more than what's in those reports. He's far more ambitious. He reminds me a little of Whitney in that he believes he's the smartest man in the room and that he can control lives. He wants that kind of power, just like Whitney does. Turning the Ghostwalker program over to other governments doesn't leave Cheng with the firepower he craves. He would want to keep it for himself, develop his own soldiers and send them out if others didn't comply with whatever he wanted. He wants the world to fear him."
"Cheng or Zhu?" Belicia asked.
"Both. They share the same vision."
She chewed at her lip for a moment.
Cheng wants that recognition, but Zhu doesn't care about being recognized. He prefers to remain in the shadows. I think he would have wanted the enhancements for himself.
A delicate shudder passed through Zara's body. She was afraid to close her eyes and sleep. She knew Zhu would be there looking at her, reminding her he was coming for her, and he would. She had no doubt of that.
"He's incredibly evil." "You're safe here," Belicia said, as if reading her thoughts.
She shook her head.
"I'm not. And as long as I'm here, no one else is safe either. Whitney will give up. He let me stay. At first, he made a try for me, but then he just let the team keep me. I think if I left the safety of them, he might come after me, but he isn't going to stop, Belicia. Neither of them will," Zara said. "Whitney will keep coming for me. If I'm dead, he'll come after my body."
Belicia sank back on her heels.
"You have something he wants."
Zara nodded. "He told me to steal all of Cheng's data, his files. He has secrets on terrorist cells, locations, movements, all that sort of thing. More, he's got dirt on governments, on agents, on presidents and their families. It's his business to know things. All of that was in his files, on his computers."
"And you have it?"
"Yes. Whitney knows I have it. I destroyed Cheng's network, deleted everything so it would be impossible to recover it. I wouldn't have done that without first acquiring what was in the computers, and Whitney knows that. He had the Ghostwalker file Violet gave him.
Turn the data over to the team, and Whitney won't care about reacquiring you," Belicia said.
"You aren't thinking it through," Zara said gently.
"I've had plenty of time to think about what information I have and what damage it could do if it is in the wrong hands. We have allies, Belicia. They have agents in the field just like we do. If Whitney gets his hands on this material, he could blackmail our own allies. You and I both know, when it comes to politics, everyone is willing to sell everyone else down the river, and Whitney always wants something. Leave out the things you think are potentially a threat," Belicia said.
Zara took a breath and let it out. "You have no idea the scope of this. I can't leave out things. I downloaded everything. Thousands of files. A lifetime of compiling dirt on governments and individuals. There's no way I could go through the files to determine what is safe to pass on and what isn't. Belicia, I don't even know if I can actually get them out of my head, which makes me a huge target for everyone the moment it gets out I have this information."
Belicia scooted back to the wall and drew up her own knees. When they were girls, they'd learned to sit like that and tap out code to one another.
"What you're telling me without saying it is that what you've got could potentially start World War III.
"That's about it." "Can you destroy it?"
Zara shook her head. "I can't even get it out by myself. Whitney planted what is essentially a storage unit in my brain. It's really an integrated circuit for the sole purpose of storage. It's made from peak carbon, so it's virtually undetectable. I'm an industrial spy. Mostly, Whitney wanted to know about the experiments in medical research he was interested in. He sent me in. I downloaded files and got out. No one ever suspected. I didn't touch their equipment, so it was impossible to trace me. The companies I stole from didn't even know their research was taken.
You came home, and Whitney removed the information from your head."
She shrugged. "Just that easy. But I don't know how. Then suddenly, Violet decides to sell Whitney's prized Ghostwalker program to Cheng, and Whitney can't stand it. He sends me in. But he wants Cheng's entire network wiped clean. When the alarm started to go off, I was the only stranger on the premises. Of course Cheng suspects me. How could he not?"
There was bitterness in her voice, and she didn't try to hide it from Belicia. Whitney was the only father figure the girls had. He was cold and unfeeling. He made it clear to all of them that they were expendable, and to Zara in particular.
"Does Cheng know you have his information?"
Zara shook her head.
"Nope. He has no way of knowing that.
I wasn't anywhere near his computers. She rubbed her chin on her knees. I have to figure out what the Ghostwalkers would do with the information before I say anything. They're soldiers, Zara. They would turn it over to their commanding officer. And he would move it up along the chain of command, right? Whitney has a lot of friends higher up that chain. He'd get it.
Maybe, Belicia conceded. I don't know who to trust.
Ezekiel, Belicia said immediately. You can trust him. Are you saying he wouldn't go up the chain of command? He was running the rescue. Belicia's gaze slid away. I don't know what he would do, but we have to tell him. I tell him everything. That's the way it works between us. If I know it, then so does he. Are you saying he tells you the covert missions he goes on? Zara asked. She suspected that if she and Gino were together in an actual relationship, he still wouldn't be able to tell her when he went off on some missions.
Well, no, but that's different, Belicia hedged.
So is this. Zara didn't know if she was still very hurt by Belicia going to Ezekiel first, or whether she was jealous because it was no longer Belicia, Shyla, and Zara. She only knew she was reluctant to tell Ezekiel, especially before she told Gino. If she really was going into a relationship with Gino, if she trusted him with her heart, then she needed to trust him with this information. Still, she'd known Belicia and trusted her all of her life. That didn't mean that confidence extended to Ezekiel. Gino didn't seem as if he was a by-the-book kind of soldier. Ezekiel did, even for a ghostwalker.
No, it really isn't, Belicia denied.
I wouldn't be able to look my husband in the eye if I didn't tell him about this. Zara's heart jumped. It felt like a betrayal to her. She knew Belicia, knew her well enough to know she'd never betray her, but it still felt that way. It wasn't the three women any longer. It was Belicia and Ezekiel first. Maybe that was the way relationships were between men and women. Zara didn't know enough about them, but it felt as if she'd been abandoned and was alone. She didn't know what she'd been looking for, but having Ezekiel be part of the equation wasn't it.
You just said Ezekiel wouldn't tell you about a covert mission he was running.
That's what this is, Belicia. My covert mission.
It's not the same, and you know it, Belicia denied.
You need help, and Zeke could help you. I have to tell him. She took a deep breath. I think I have to tell Gino first, before I decide on anything else, including you telling your husband.
There was a small silence. Zara lifted her gaze to her friends. She was frowning.
What's up with you and Gino?
Zara's heart missed a beat. She shrugged.
No, honey, you have to tell me. Gino is a cool guy. I can see the appeal for you. I really can. He's hot as hell. Dangerous. Very protective. He certainly can look after you and make you feel safe, but he isn't at all the kind of man you need.
Why do you say that? You have Ezekiel. He's a soldier.
He's a soldier who has evolved. Gino hasn't, and he never will.
No matter how much you want him to have moved into this century, he hasn't. He will always feel his woman's place is at home, having his babies and sitting at his feet worshipping him. He's intelligent, but he's archaic.
You're off the charts intelligent and have so much to give to the world. You need to travel and give lectures, lead the way in artificial intelligence the way you've been doing. He wouldn't want you to do that for one minute. He's the type who would be possessive and probably jealous. He'd keep you under his thumb, and you've had that all your life.
You make him sound like he'd make a woman his prisoner.
He would, Zara. I know him. I know what he expects from his wife. He would never be happy with someone like you.
Zara ducked her head to keep Belicia from seeing that her assessment was shattering her.
You can't know that. I do know it. Absolutely, I know it. This is your chance at freedom, and Gino would take that away from you as surely as if you were back in the compound. You might be happy for a year or two, but, Zara, you're made to set the world on fire, and he won't like it. You'd eventually fight him to get free. Men like Gino don't give up their women.
He's intelligent. I hate that you think I'm so much smarter, Belicia.
You're selling him short. There was a hint of belligerence in her voice, but she couldn't get it out.
That isn't what I'm saying at all, Belicia corrected. I'm saying he doesn't want his woman out in the world. I can go out and fight with Ezekiel, and he believes in my abilities to help defend the triplets or Nani. Gino would tuck you somewhere safe and expect you to hide with the triplets and Nani.
Maybe that's where I want to be.
Belicia shook her head.
I don't think so, beautiful. You're too smart to want only to be someone's wife and the mother of his children. You want to make an impact on the world. That's your true destiny, and everyone knows it but Whitney. He always wanted you to feel like you can't make it on your own. You don't want to trade him for Gino. You're not being very nice. Gino's a good man. That has nothing to do with it. You've got a great gift, and you were born to change the world. You owe it to the world, but he won't understand that. He would selfishly want to keep you to himself and make all your decisions for you, as if you didn't have a brain in your head. He'd insist you be his little submissive in the house and in the bedroom. Policia, you can't talk about him like that. There's no way you know him that well.
Zara's heart was dipping, skipping beats, hurting. She didn't want to owe the world her gift. She wanted her own little workspace with no one around. She knew she was responsible for Belicia thinking she wanted to set the world on fire. She'd lied since she'd first gone off to school. How could Belicia and Shyla ever forgive her? She had wanted them to be proud of her, so she'd pretended to love what she did. Worse, she didn't think having Gino make decisions when she didn't want to sounded all that bad.
"Do you know that he comes from one of the wealthiest families in the world?"
Belicia leaned close to the tub. "I'm not talking millionaire here. Trapp and Wyatt are wealthy, but they make strides in the medical world. They have patents. They contribute. What do you think he does with all that money?"
"Absolutely nothing, Zara. It just grows and grows for him."
Zara rubbed her temples. Her head was beginning to pound all over again.
"You're saying he has no interest in money. Is that so bad?"
"He has no interest in anything," Belicia countered. Zara wanted to throw something.
"When I was upset with you for not even seeing me when we came back, he defended you, Belicia. You're tearing him apart, and he defended you."
Belicia sighed.
"I'm sorry. I wish I could tell you something different. But if I had to assess Gino's character, I'd say he was more like Boulanger than any of the Ghostwalkers. I'm sorry if that hurts, but I need to be honest so you don't make a very big mistake. I can see you're already falling for him, but it's just the fact that he rescued you. It could have been any of them."
Zara knew that wasn't the truth. She felt nothing when she was near any of the others. She hadn't looked at them when they were trying to help Gino with her. She'd felt a connection with him right from the start, and that connection had only grown the more time she spent with him, which was 24/7.
"I need to get out of here. My butt is hurting right along with my head. I expect you to keep my confidence until I decide what to do. That means you can't tell Ezekiel, Belicia."
"He'll know I'm holding something back, and this is big, Zara," Belicia said, reluctance in her voice and eyes. "I told you, I don't hold things back from my husband." Panic welled up. "I would never have trusted you if I thought you'd betray me."
Zara caught at the edges of the tub, as if she could haul herself out of the water.
"We made a vow to one another. You, me, Shyla."
"I know.
But if you trust me, you have to trust him. I can't go to him and say, I don't trust him enough with this information. It's too valuable, and he knows me too well. He has a responsibility to his entire team and everyone who lives here, and so do I now."
"What are you saying?
You want me to leave because I bring a threat with me?"
Her chest hurt, and her lungs felt raw. She hadn't thought anything could come between them. A man had. Would Gino come between Shyla and her if Shyla were to find her way to the Fontenot home? If that was the case, she didn't want anything to do with men.
"No, of course not. I don't know what I'm saying. Only that I don't like to keep things from my husband, and this is huge."
Zara caught at the plug in the tub, avoiding Belicia's eyes. All of a sudden, she felt very alone and lost. She thought when she got here, she would have Belicia, but she didn't. Belicia's loyalties had shifted to her husband and her husband's team of ghostwalkers. She had to bide her time, get the virus capsules out of her, and get gone fast.
Zara,
Belicia tried again. Zara flashed her the fake smile she'd perfected over the years, the one she used when the girls gathered around her at night when she came back from one of her freedom trips. They always bought the smile because they wanted to believe. It made them happy to think that one of their own was out in the world, free and happy, when they were held prisoner back at the compound. At least one of them was free. Belicia took the wet towel and stood up to wring it out. Her gaze jumped to the lacerations all over her body.
Zara.
She breathed her name and went to her knees beside the tub.
Zeke told me, but I didn't realize what they'd done to you.
Zara took the clean towel and wrapped it around her body as best she could, because she felt very exposed and vulnerable. She didn't want Belicia staring at her. Lifting her voice, she called out, hoping Gino was a man of his word and that he was in hearing distance.
Gino, I'm ready.
She had to end this with her friend before she started crying.
I didn't mean to upset you, Belicia said. I swear, Zara, I'm only looking out for you.
I know. It's my great mind everyone is always so concerned with, preserving it for the good of all mankind and all. She went for humor, but it fell flat. She was very thankful the door to the bathroom opened and Gino stuck his head in.
You cold, Princess?
I need to get out of here. My bum hurts. She wished she could be more elegant and not mention her throbbing buttocks, but she really did hurt, and it was all she could think of to get him to take her out of the situation. Gino's gaze jumped from her face to Belicia's, and then he shut down. His features were once again an expressionless mask. He was across the floor to her in two strides, crouching down to slide one arm under her knees and the other locking behind her back. "Hold on, baby," he whispered gently. His voice turned her heart over, so caring. Not about her brain, not about the storage unit in her brain either, just her. She wrapped her hands around his neck, buried her face in his shoulder, and let him lift her.
Zara,
Belicia said, her voice tight. She's done, Gino said, before Zara could summon the will to answer, so she didn't. Grateful that he could see her. See that she couldn't take one more moment of her best friend telling her what was good and right for her, or telling her that her first priority was really her husband now. There was nothing wrong with those things, but they just weren't helping when Zara felt so alone and in need of guidance. Not guidance about whether or not Gino Mazza was the man for her, but about the storage unit filled with data. Gino carried her out of the bathroom and down the hall, Belicia trailing after them.
"Where are you taking her?"
she asked. "My room," Gino said.
"That isn't necessary, Gino. We're no longer using Zeke's room. Take her there."
There was a challenge to Belicia's voice, and an authority Zara hadn't given her permission to have. That left Zara in a dilemma. Should she back her friend? If she didn't, would Belicia turn on her and tell Ezekiel, even though she'd asked her not to? Her fingers dug into Gino's shoulders, and her teeth bit down on his neck. He didn't slow down or break stride. He took her right into his bedroom and kicked the door closed behind him. There was a finality to the sound as the door slammed hard. Zara lifted her head as he put her down in the center of his bed. Her eyes searched his. "She's going to be very, very angry with you. She'll tell Zeke you all but kidnapped me. If that's what it takes to stop the bullshit, I'm all for kidnapping. What in the hell was she saying that was upsetting you?" She needed to get weight off her buttocks. She turned onto her side gingerly, still not taking her eyes from his face.
"We were always so close. It was Shyla, Belicia, and me. We trusted one another implicitly, which, believe me, where we were raised, that was huge to have. I guess I thought it would be the same here. I didn't consider that it would be natural for her to include her husband."
He didn't blink. Those dark, intense eyes never left hers.
"You mean you told her something in confidence, and she indicated she would tell Zeke?"
Her heart did a strange stuttering that told her she was either afraid of him or very attracted. Maybe both. His voice was strictly neutral, but she had the feeling he wasn't happy.
"I'm just not as sure of her as I was."
"Did you talk to her about Zhu?"
"A little."
She propped her head up on her hand.
"Not about things he did to me.
She didn't ask, and I didn't want to talk about him.
She wanted to know if I really thought Cheng and Zhu were brothers, and I do."
"You need to talk about what he did, Zara."
Now his voice was gentle, and that got to her. She shook her head.
"I want him to go away, out of my mind, just for a little while."
"You going to tell me what you're hiding from me?"
"I'm thinking about it. I'm afraid to. I don't know the right thing to do."
He sank down onto the mattress beside her. "You're going to have to sit up for a few more minutes. I need to tame your hair. It's going wild on us." She rolled over and sat up without thinking why it was so easy to do whatever he asked. Belicia was so wrong about him. She couldn't understand why Belicia saw one thing and she saw something completely different in him. He unpinned her hair, shifted around behind her, and took the brush from the nightstand where he'd obviously put it, waiting for her to get out of the bathtub. Belicia didn't see him. How thoughtful he was, anticipating her needs. Zara scooted between his thighs, uncaring that she was only wearing a towel and her back was bare. His fingers skimmed over the stripes of bruises down her back.
"You're healing fast," he told her.
"Nani assures me that her concoction is going to facilitate healing even faster."
"I hope so. I hate that you have to take care of me all the time, Gino.
I'll bet you weren't aware of what you'd signed up for."
"I knew exactly what I signed up for, Zara," he contradicted. "Maybe I didn't know the exact extent of what Zhu did, but I knew you were mine."
The brush never stopped moving through her hair and over her scalp. If he encountered a tangle, he patiently used a comb to smooth the knot before once again using the brush. She'd never had that kind of care before, and it was almost too much. Almost. She kept quiet so he wouldn't stop.
"Whatever it is you're worried about, Princess, I'm on your side. If you need me to take that off you, give it to me and let me figure it out."
It was an offer, not an order. Gino might have been hurt earlier thinking she didn't trust him, but once she'd said she did, he'd gotten over it fast. She wanted to let him decide what to do with the information she had. She couldn't protect the world from Whitney. If he ended up with the information after what she was doing to try to keep it from him, that wouldn't be on her.
"It would be so easy to hand the responsibility off to you, but I'm not certain it's right. I haven't lived outside the compound ever. I was allowed out to go to school, but I always knew I was watched. There was no real freedom. I didn't make decisions for myself, and certainly not moral ones. I followed Whitney's dictates. If he said I had to steal information, I did it." She tried to tell him without stating it. She was a thief. She stole data and took it back to Whitney so he could leap out in front of everyone and be the best at everything.
"Zara, I asked for the responsibility. There's a difference. You're not handing me something I didn't want. I'm just saying, if you don't know who you can trust, take a look at the man standing with you. I promised you I wasn't going anywhere, and I haven't. I'm with you for as long as you want me."
He braided her hair and secured it with a small tie, and then pulled her back until she was resting against his chest. His arm slid around her and held her to him. She rested her head on him, feeling secure. That was something no one else had ever given her.
"If I tell you something important, do you have to share it with the other ghost walkers, or take it up the chain of command?"
He nuzzled the top of her head. "I'm supposed to, but I don't always do everything I'm supposed to do."
"Could you give me your word of honor? You just wouldn't tell everyone without my permission?"
"I'd like to tell you, yes. But honestly, Princess, I tend to make up my own mind.
I would tell you first what I'm going to do. I'd talk it over with you. I wouldn't do anything.